Yvette Ortiz, a University of Arkansas graduate student and a native Spanish speaker, has been awarded a substantial scholarship to study Yiddish in New York this summer. That's right, Yiddish. It's actually her fourth language to learn, behind Spanish, English, and German. I spoke with her and one of her German professors, Dr. Jennifer Hoyer, who began speaking German at age 12 and Yiddish as a graduate student herself. Yvette says Yiddish just sort of fell into her lap.
I love German, and I was studying a lot of Holocaust topic-related subjects. So Dr. Hoyer recommended that I look at this program, which is the Uralweinreich Yiddish summer program. And I looked into it, and I thought it was a great idea to expose myself to the other side, cultural and language. And I enjoyed it tremendously. So I just ran with it ever since then. So it's been a year now that I've been working on Yiddish.
I mean, what is Yiddish? Who speaks Yiddish?
Yiddish is literally the Jewish language. Yiddish translates to Jewish. So it is commonly spoken amongst a large number of Jewish families, but it's expanding now. There's a bigger interest than just the Jewish culture. Other people are starting to take it on, not only as a language, but as a major. You can actually major in Yiddish in the northern states now. So that, to me, is amazing that it's grown that way. But it originated in Europe, Eastern Europe, and it's a mixture of Old High German and the Hebrew alphabet. So spoken, it sounds very much like German, but written, it is completely the Hebrew alphabet.
So, Dr. Hoyer, are there Yiddish classes offered here at the University of Arkansas?
No, there are not, unfortunately. But what that does for us gives us an opportunity to give students who want to do that the chance to apply for this outside program, which brings with it its own set of accolades, right? Because it's nice to have Arkansas represented at this summer institute in New York City, and they get fairly decent chance and a fairly decent amount of scholarship money attended to it, right?
Yes.
How have you used it since your study last summer?
Since studying last summer, I've actually used it quite a bit. This year when we hosted the Beyond the Holocaust series, I actually did two Yiddish lessons to begin the two films that we screened in Yiddish. So that was really good. Everyone that came really enjoyed it. It was a fun time for me. I was able to actually show what I learned and put it into practice. So that was good. And then I've also done some research with Yiddish poets and done a paper related to that. So I was able to integrate it in the academic world, but also with the community. So it was extremely satisfying.
So you mentioned Yiddish classes, just kind of a little tutorial before a film. People like me that have never heard?
Oh, yeah, completely. There was people that had some Yiddish background, maybe some their grandmothers or grandparents in some way spoke it when they were children. So they didn't really know the background or the basics, but they understood it. And then there was students from our own German classes that came and enjoyed the movies and just learned from ground zero. They had nothing, no background at all in Yiddish. And by the end, they were singing songs, and it was good. It was
so
a lot of fun.
How would you begin a Yiddish lesson?
A Yiddish lesson. I focused on key pronunciation letters. So I focused on the vowels, and then the rest of it, we just kind of worked through it because we can't teach an entire alphabet in 20 minutes, but we can work on sound and pronunciation, and we were able to complete an entire song.
Okay. Can you give an example?
Yidelmitten Fiete. Let's see, Dr. Hoyer, help me with the next line.
Aria mit dem Bass.
So, das Leben is a Yidel. Yidelmitten Fiete is the one that we screened the first time around, and that is part of the song itself. So by the end, everyone was able to sing the chorus line to that.
That was super fun. I mean, I think everybody, even people who were slightly shy, which is super exciting, not only because it's not something that you get much of a chance to learn here, although there are actually people who live in Fayetteville who speak
right.
Yiddish or who grew up listening to their parents or grandparents speak Yiddish, usually as the language that they were not supposed to understand.
The secret language.
Right.
But also, it's something that people don't necessarily have a lot of access to here. It's nice to have a student of the language make the language accessible to new people. It's like after the last one where Rabbi Jacob got up to comment on the film a little bit and then spoke at you, in Yiddish and said, you know, that was a really nice lesson. And
yes. Well, and there was a young boy also that was there, and he was just piped up right away, remembering what we had gone over the first time because he was at the first film screening.
Well, you mentioned this Beyond the Holocaust series, and it's part of a Jewish studies program that you've...
We're building. We're trying to build here a Jewish studies program that we're trying to build. And the grant specifically is called the Legacy Heritage Fund Jewish Studies Project Grant. It's a pretty unique grant. It was only offered for a three-year span. And only three or four schools got it for those years. So in total, I think 13 institutions in the country. And the Legacy Heritage Foundation funds it in co-organization with the Association for Jewish Studies, which is an academic organization, professional membership organization for anyone who does Jewish studies. And what that is it's totally interdisciplinary. So people who study ancient practice, biblical, different linguistic thing. I mean, it covers such a broad spectrum.
All-encompassing.
Yeah. And we have a number of faculty members on the campus right now who were already teaching classes that have some representation in Jewish studies. But we didn't have a program. And this grant is specifically aimed at universities that are outside of major metropolitan areas that are trying to build or are already in the process of building and need to expand their Jewish studies program. And so Arkansas was a natural fit.
And just because I know that I've spoken with, you mentioned Rabbi Jacob, and I've spoken with him for, you know, a couple of stories. And, you know, the Jewish population in Northwest Arkansas is not really very large.
No.
Right.
Right.
And so,
all
I mean,
the more reason to have a Jewish studies program.
Exactly. Yeah, right.
Yeah. And I mean, students are incredibly interested in it for a lot of different reasons, which we see just based on the kind of enrollment that we have in the classes that we already have been offering. There's just so much out there that we can offer and that students have access to.
What sorts of programs do you have lined up for the fall?
What we're hoping to do next year, since the grant unfortunately only covers the 1 year.
Okay.
Now it comes down to keeping the grassroots organization going, is to keep some of our faculty and students out in the open so that people can see what everyone is working on. Because these are not only classes that we teach, it also in some cases represents our own research interests. So for example, hopefully what will happen next year is that we'll have a couple of faculty members give kind of colloquium or talks that may or may not have some reading associated with it, but so that we get to see what faculty members on this campus are working on. And then we will probably try to get more world languages involved as well, because Yiddish is an important language also in connection with other languages in other parts of the world. So,
well, Yvette, you did this program once last summer, and you're doing it again this summer. What do you hope to bring back this time?
This time around, I'm hoping that I'll be able to spend more time on reading texts so that I'm wanting to begin a reading group for the spring. So my focus will be to get texts that we can work with, that I can use to work with people that have never had Yiddish, something that we can use that's basic and fun. So that's what I want to bring back to be able to expose everyone to. And then I will also be doing research for myself that I'm interested in with female Yiddish poets, particularly Razel Sklinsky, who's Polish. So
you mentioned that Yiddish has pieces of High German in it. As I am more familiar with German, how are the two similar?
They're actually quite similar. There's a lot of words that are almost identical.
I noticed that when you were saying Leben.
Pronunciation is slightly different, but fundamentally, it's when you're listening, it sounds very much the same. Ich heiße Yvette. My name is Yvette. It's almost exactly like German. Ich heiße Yvette. You just have a slight little differentiation.
Can I append something to that?
Sure.
And you will, I think, attest to this as well. To learn to speak Yiddish as somebody who speaks German already, difficult, problematic, challenging, interesting?
I found it problematic in some ways, because if you pronounce a word, a Yiddish word, with a German take on it, sometimes it gets a little interesting because it's not Yiddish, and people will quickly call you out on that. But it was easier to grab the language, to actually take it and run with it, because there was some overlap there. So it was interesting to see how people reacted to using German words intermingled with Yiddish words. Because the beginning, it is very much the same, but the further you get into the language, the more differences there are between the words. So,
and then in addition to that, I think there's even another level, because I know most languages are like this, but I feel like Yiddish, every word you say has so many meanings to it.
Yes, it does.
There's almost nothing you say that only means the thing that you just said. It's two or three other things as well. And so much of it is inflection. So much of it is how you're looking at the person. It's one of these languages that you have to immerse yourself. I mean, you have to immerse yourself in any language. But in Yiddish, it's a language you speak with your whole body. It's incredible. I want to do this immersion program myself and next summer if I can, or thereafter, because reading is good and fun, but I feel like you really understand what you're looking at a lot better if you can really speak it and experience it.
Dr. Jennifer Hoyer is a professor of German at the University of Arkansas. Dr. Hoyer will be spending her summer in an archive in Germany, researching the concepts of time and space in poetry in the 17th century. Her student, Yvette Ortiz, received a scholarship to study Yiddish in New York this summer. She hopes to get a fellowship to go to Poland for a year, where there is still quite a large population of Yiddish speakers. She says she'll have to learn her fifth language, Polish, if she does go there. Yvette wanted to point out that to immerse yourself in something like Yiddish doesn't mean you have to spend a summer studying it. It could just mean being open to new things and running with it.